What's going on, Edge Ministry? It's been a beautiful night so far. My name is Ashton Cooper, and I'm here representing the New Jersey region of our amazing church. I know I got some Brooklyn people in the crowd that, you know, I love both places. They're great. They're both great. But I'm really grateful to be here with my family. And it's truly an honor to share the word of God with you this evening. And so we're going to keep it real tonight, right? I can be real with y'all, right? So I'm here to preach a message that I need to hear first. Right? I am and have been fighting to have faith in God in the midst of a season of uncertainty and insecurity. You know, 5 months ago, I was recently engaged. I was excited. All right, cool. It's not about me. But I was starting a new job in a new city, and I saw things coming together, and I was super faithful. 1 month ago, I barely made it into 2020 in one piece. You know, I went through mental health challenges, started therapy, left my job. But you know what? I was still hopeful. You know, that new year, new me feeling. I was excited and I was praying with confidence. God won't let, you know, January pass by without me having a new job. Things were going to go great. About 1 week ago, I was crying in my car. Worried about the future. Waiting on a call back from a job interview. Wandering. And my vision for my life was foggy. And my faith felt clouded, and I felt like I was beyond my limit. And you know, people told me, God is good, Ashton. You know, he won't let you fall. He has a plan. Just have faith. And I thought, really? He won't let me fall. I feel like I'm falling. I'm hurting. Does he care? Is he good? I don't feel it. Does he have a plan? I don't see it. Just have faith. You know, I thought to myself, is it possible to have faith when I can't see a light at the end of the tunnel? My brothers and sisters, that's one of the only situations that requires faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is not based in what things look like, how we feel. It's confidence and assurance about the hope that we have in the invisible God, our Father. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, for we live by faith, not by sight. You know, Paul makes this claim about us as Christians. It says, faith is what we live by. This is who we are. We're not guided first by what we see, but rather by what we believe or who we believe. You know, in this passage, Paul is speaking about focusing on heaven instead of earth, sharing his longing for heaven. Paul lived with eyes focused on the spiritual reality and not the physical one. And as disciples of Jesus, that's what we're supposed to focus on. We're supposed to look beyond the physical to the spiritual. Faith, not sight. But it's hard to do that. And I know I'm the only one who feels that way, right? You know, because the physical is so easy to see. It's hard to live by it's hard not to live by what I see, what it looks like, what my past experiences tell me, even what my intellect tells me. It's hard, but it's possible. It's possible, and it takes shifting our focus from these things that we see that are real, knowing that God is realer. And I know that's not a word, but tonight it is. The things we feel are real. But God is realer. He's greater. He is bigger. He's stronger. He can overcome, and he will. We need to take our focus off of what we see and set our focus on who he is. So the question I ask myself, and I want to ask all of us here tonight, is what are you focused on? What are you focused on? Especially if you're like me and you're struggling to live by faith, this is a question that we need to ask ourselves. What are we focusing on? Tonight, I want to remind us to focus on faith. To focus on faith. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to be starting in verse 13. So just a quick recap as you're turning. Elisha here has a little bit of beef with the king of Syria. And he's causing him some trouble. He wants to raid Israel. And the king of Syria goes to send troops to Elisha to go check him out. Starting in verse 13, it says, "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men to capture him." The report came back, "He is in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there, and they went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Do not be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And we'll stop there. You know, the city is surrounded, and the servant, Elisha's servant, is scared. You know, this whole army for one man. And it's natural. You look, you see something, and you react accordingly. But he had not yet seen the situation for what it truly was. Elisha was fully aware of this. He saw God, and he saw his plan for victory, even in the midst of a difficult situation. Elisha was not afraid because he was focused on faith. God is physically invisible, but his work is real, and it's powerful. And you know what? The presence of God's army didn't change the fact that that army that came for Elisha was still there. And, you know, God doesn't always eliminate our problems. He doesn't always eliminate what we're going through. But his presence should eclipse what we are going through, because his presence makes us feel safe. So what are you focused on? You know, I want to send us home with some scriptures as we try to shift our focus. Amen. And I want to talk about some things that we can focus on that we shouldn't be focusing on, and we should be focusing on faith instead. So the first thing is to focus on faith and not your past. Faith and not your past. Let's turn to Luke 5. We're going to be moving through pretty quickly. We don't have projection. So stick with me here. Luke 5, verses 4 through 7. Focusing on faith and not your past. So we have a story here with Jesus and Peter, and it starts in verse 4. It says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they had caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help him. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. You know, Peter's recent past told him that Jesus and what he was asking him to do didn't really make much sense. It would be a waste of his time. It would lead to more sweat and more disappointment. He had been fishing all night, and Jesus wanted him to fish some more. His past was real, but Jesus was realer. Jesus is Lord over all these things. And when Peter placed his faith in Jesus, when he focused on faith and not his past, a miracle happened. Something incredible by faith. And his mindset was, "Lord, because you say so, I will. Despite what my past tells me, Jesus calls me to something different." And I think about that, and I think, you know, what joys have I not experienced because I'm listening to my past? Is there a miracle I'm missing out on because I'm letting my past dictate my present action? You know, we sometimes don't do things because we're tired of this, or we feel like because we've been there, done that, because we're ready to go back to the shore and leave the deep waters that Jesus calls us to. What are those deep waters for you? Is it dating? Finances? Going back to school? Reaching out to a coworker or a family member again? Right? Can God be asking you to let out your nets into deep water? You know, I almost didn't have faith about my current relationship because of my past relationship. And what a terrible thing that would have been. I'm getting married on April 5th, y'all. It's exciting. Praise God, I didn't listen to my past. You know, our past tells us you've never been this, or it's always been this, or it's not worth it, or don't stress yourself out again. You'll just be disappointed and let down again. But we can decide to tune those things out and tune into the voice of God. Because he whispers a calling that we need to have faith in. I believe there's victories waiting for you on the other side of that fear that's holding you back. On the other side of that doubt, the cynicism, the mediocrity, and the just straight up quitting. Decide to focus on faith, not your past. Amen? My second point, focus on faith and not your problems. We're going to look at another story with Jesus and Peter. And I'm just going to paraphrase it really quickly. It's in Matthew 14, verses 28 to 31, if you're taking notes. And it's a story about Peter walking on the water out to Jesus. And you guys have probably heard the story before. And what's cool about the story is that Peter was able to walk on the water because he kept his focus on Jesus. But the minute he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started focusing on the problems that were always there, the water, the wind, the waves were always there, but he started to focus on those things instead of Jesus, and it impacted his faith. It impacted him negatively. I say impacted his faith because he began to wonder, could Jesus really keep me afloat still? Now that I'm looking at the wind and the waves. And you know, when we get caught in circumstances and the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, as it says in the parable of the sower, it chokes out our faith. So I want to talk about my problem a little bit more, right? So the short version of it is that I'm kind of broke, y'all, right? You know what I'm saying? I'm just kind of just a little bit broke, like not like broke, like, but I'm broke, right? So, okay, cool. And sometimes I think to myself, hey, what's possible when I'm struggling financially? What can I do? And when you're going through financial struggles, you begin to kind of lose sight of the way that God is still providing for you while you're going through what you're going through. You know, I lose sight of all the things God has done for me in the past and all the things that he's continuing to do for me. I forget that God has always taken care of me. He knows the numbers are here on my head, and there's a decent amount of them. You know, God, sometimes my problems and my situation makes me doubt who God says he is. And that's hard. You know, sometimes I think he must have changed because he must not have control, complete control over the situation because of what I'm going through. It begins to warp our faith when we focus on our problems. But I'm so grateful for people in my life who encourage me to keep my head up above the waves so that I can focus on faith. People like Prince. Right? Prince is here tonight. Prince from Brooklyn. So Prince reminds me that the family of God is here to support you. When you feel like you're struggling, things are not going well, God is, you know, the people are also here for you. Prince is like, yo, I got you, man. You need some money. I got you. We got you. I'm like, okay, who's we? So if you're in Brooklyn, Prince has volunteered your money to help me out. That's what he said. People like Desiree, you know, my fiance, she reminds me that God cares so deeply about me when I lose sight of that. People like Dimitri, he's preaching with me here tonight, and I'm starting to get to know him as we're preparing this message, and he's like, the thing that you're going through right now is an opportunity to grow your faith, to exercise your faith. You're gonna grow through this. You can have joy in your trials. And I'm so grateful for people like that. It reminds me of John 16, verse 33. Where it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. This is Jesus speaking. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Whatever your problem is, your problems are real. I know that, but God is realer. He's the solution. You can focus on your faith and not your problems. And I want to end off with focusing on faith, not performance. Faith, not performance. And I'm going to kind of zoom through this a little quickly because of time. But you can write down Exodus chapter 6. It's a story about Moses, and God is calling Moses to tell Pharaoh that he's going to release his people. And when God tells Moses this, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get these people out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And somehow, after Moses hears all the things that God said he's going to do, he starts thinking about his performance and how his lack of being able to speak is going to keep this thing from actually happening. He starts focusing on his performance, what he's capable of, and the fact that he had a speech issue. But God was going to do something in spite of it. And I think a lot of times we think that things that God wants to do, God is willing to do, that, I don't know, our lack of ability is going to get in the way. And it causes us to struggle in our faith. And that's not how God works. He works through imperfect people all the time. It's something we have to believe. Also, somehow, we think our performance can earn us blessings. Our performance does not earn us blessings. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible reads, "He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." Our salvation was never earned. Righteousness is not earned. Heaven is not earned. So our requests to God are not any different. They are not earned. Somehow, after all the saving grace that I've been given, sometimes I try to continue my Christian life earning things, trying to earn things. And the way that works is when I'm doing well spiritually, I think, okay, maybe something good's gonna happen. Or maybe God, you know, this is gonna work out. And when I'm not doing well spiritually, I don't expect anything from God. How could he bless me when I'm acting like this or I'm being like this? That sounds really religious, right? I guess sometimes I'm religious. And if you can relate, I guess sometimes you're religious too. And we need to think spiritually of how God truly works. He wants to bless us because he loves us. So I want to encourage you to focus on faith and not your performance. Not that it doesn't matter at all, but God matters so much more. You know, I want to end off with this. You can almost guarantee that your life will have variety, that sometimes there will be circumstances that you don't enjoy. You can guarantee that your life will change. You can guarantee that God will stay the same. So you have a choice to have faith and to focus on faith, not your past, not your problems, not your performance. Amen.
All right, guys. Ash, thank you so much. That was amazing, man. The Spirit spoke. All right, let's go to God in for a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for tonight. God, I pray that you take over me tonight, speaking about this subject. I pray that, you know, everybody's inspired tonight by the things that's coming out of my mouth through your Spirit, Father God. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, good evening, Edge. My name is Dimitri. I'm from the New Jersey region. I'm part of the Edge Ministry as well. All right, guys, I want to tell you a little bit about myself before we start. I was born in Haiti. Oh, okay. All right. I was born in Haiti. You know, I got baptized very early age. By 9 years old, I was interested in reading the Bible. I wanted to learn. And 11 years old, I got baptized. And it was amazing. It was God. It was not me. It was God. And he knew exactly what he was doing. 10 years later, I left the church. I wanted to do my own thing. In 2016, I got back to church. I got restored. And in a way, I left God, not just the church, but I turned my back on God. I wanted to do my own God. I wanted to be my own God in a way. All right, so I just wanted you guys to have a little background of me, knowing that Dimitri is not perfect. Dimitri is not the great guy who has it good all the time. Not at all. I messed up a lot. All right, so now the part of my message tonight, it will be about success and vision. As you guys know the title, it's by faith, not by sight. Now, for me, to be honest with you, I believe everybody wants to succeed, right? Don't you want to succeed? Everyone wants to succeed. Now, we don't have enough time to talk about every aspect of success and vision tonight, but I know the Spirit will blow our minds away. of the things that we can understand from the word that we're going to look at tonight. Now, do you believe that your success is guaranteed? Do you believe that? It's okay. It's all right. If you don't, it's all right. Tonight, we're going to look at it. Now, do you believe in the word of God? Do you believe when God speaks? Do you believe of what you read? Do you believe that? Very good. All right, guys, let's look at, let's find out what success is. Because a lot of times success can be so many things for different people, for many of us. So for me, I've heard this a while back about success. And the definition, it was, success is the completion and the fulfillment of the original intent for your existence. Meaning success is you discovering your purpose and completing it before you die. Right? Also, is the potential destiny of all created things. All created things, they have a destiny, and it's to succeed. Therefore, your success cannot be measured and compared to other success, to what they do and into what you do. Water, you can't compare it as what you have done and what you should do and what you could have done. You can compare it like that. Now, let's go to the Bible and check out the scripture. God is about to blow your mind. Isaiah 46:8-10. I'll go ahead and read it for you guys. Remember this. This is God speaking to Isaiah. Remember this. Keep it in your mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there's no other. I am God, and there's none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. This scripture, it's amazing and says so much about our success. This is not just a motivational speech. Someone is telling you of what God can do. This is God telling you of what he can do, of his potential. Now, it is clear this message was important to God. And he's like, put it in your heart. Keep it in your mind. Because what I'm about to tell you, there's no other God like me. Because that at that time, some people, they knew they could be God. Some other things can be gods. The sun can be God. Other things can be God. But God's like, no, there's no other one. I am that God. And this is why we should go about our success and knowing we have full confidence that our success is guaranteed. God says, I make known the past from the beginning. This is what God is saying to you. I finish you before I start you, before you begin. He lets you know. It's like God didn't start creating you and then find out what he's going to do with you or what you're going to be. No. God decided what you are going to be. And then he go back. And begin. It's similar to a building like this establishment. They have to put it on paper before they start construction. They have to bring everything in and show you everything is done, lighting, electricity, plumbing, everything before they start building it. And this is what God did for us. Therefore, your success with God is guaranteed. There's no questions about it. Do you believe your success is guaranteed? What? All right. Guys, your future, it's existed before you. Your future is God's past. Your future is existed inside you, before you, and it is God's past. It lived it already, even before it created you. Your success is very important to God. Why? Because he created you for his name's sake. He wants you to succeed. God does not create anything for failure. It's the same thing as you, let's take this example again, this establishment. Whoever putting this together, they want it to succeed. Your phone, Apple, Android, they want it to succeed. And they put their name on it, saying that, oh, I guarantee you this phone is going to work. You're going to pay $1,000 for it. But it's going to work. I guarantee you, right? It's the same thing as God. God created us as his image. He put a stamp. He's like, I created you, and you're going to be good because I created you. So you do not have to worry about if you're going to succeed in life or not. God already did that for you. Don't worry about it. Now, guys, my upcoming, I'm blessed to be born in a poor country. It was a blessing. My brother and I, we talked about that all the time. Growing up, we were living in this one-bedroom apartment where six of us will be living there. I remember my parents and my parents will be in the room, and then us kids, we will be outside, no bed, just on the floor, putting something in the ground, and we sit there. But we were happy. We were so joyful. The only thing, we would be praying every morning, thanking God, say, God, thank you. The ceiling is still here. It did not fall off on us. That's the only thing. Guys, we were so happy. Other people from the campus ministry would be coming and sleep on the floor with us. But that, it was a blessing to me. It was a blessing for my family. We were poor, but my family, they were godly and wealthy-minded people. So growing up, I always dreamed to own my own business. I always dreamed to open a gym. I remember since about nine years old, I dream of these things. I wanted to own things. I didn't want to just work for someone, right? One thing I dream of again was to be a hero, to help people, save people. I don't know, but that I don't know how it's gonna look like. But I dream of that, right? And the other dream is to have I remember dreaming what I'm dreaming, having a wife with long hair. It's so weird. Guys, it's so weird, but it's true. This is it. I was only 9-10 years old, okay? 2019, that was like last year. I got the gym. Not me, it was all God. I got the gym. Last Sunday, I got engaged. With a beautiful, long-haired, godly woman. Okay? All right, guys. Time is flying. Time is flying. All right, just to tell you how God is. Because he let me see my future, my dream, from the beginning. Not when I was an adult. I was dreaming from when I was a teenager, young boy. I was dreaming and of these things. And I saw them. He made known the end at that time. So guys, I'm telling you, please do not stop dreaming. You remember those dreams when you were only 12, 11 years old. Go back to those dreams. Dream them again, because God will make them to, will see them to pass. All right, guys, the other thing, we need vision. A lot of us, I know sometimes it's so hard for us to kind of like have dreams, to have dream again, especially as disciples. We don't know how to go about them, and we don't know if it's spiritual to do certain dreams, certain desire that we have. It's so hard. It can be so confusing at times. Now, let me tell you, do not stop dreaming. Keep on dreaming. In Proverbs 16, verse 9, it said, "In their hearts, human plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." When I was, you know, I left the church, but God was always with me. I made many mistakes. I did everything, all the stuff that I wanted to do, but it was there guiding me. Today, I'm before you sharing with you. I never thought of that. I don't deserve that. But he protected me. It's like, yeah, you have plans, you make mistakes, you do all that, but I'm gonna direct your steps. So it's the same thing for your dream. Some of you guys, you came to New York with big dreams. You wanted to be a writer. You wanted to be a songwriter. You wanted to be an actress. You wanted to be an evangelist. You wanted to do so many big things. And New York has a way of crushing you, crushing your dream. And sometimes people are telling you, what are you dreaming? You can't do this, right? God says, keep dreaming. Make small steps. Even though I was down, there was a time when I was getting the gym, it was so hard for me. For 3 years, I was looking for loans. I was going from bank to bank. I couldn't get any loans. Nobody wanted to give me a loan, but the dream was there. And I never stopped taking steps. I never stopped. And I keep going. Last year, I'm like, I'm going to give these people the last offer. And if it's not, if they don't give it to me, that's fine. We're going to be honest today, guys. I didn't have the money to buy the gym. I didn't have the money, but God made it happen. The first offer was like $300,000 to buy the gym. And I went to these people and I gave them the offer and everything. They said, you know what? We'll give it to you for $150,000. It wasn't me. It was all God. It was all God. Guys, don't stop dreaming. Don't stop taking steps towards those dreams. One scripture I would like. Listen, sometimes we force ourselves. We want to do things that were supposed to be this year, but we start doing them. We were expecting them in 2014, 2015, right? But this year is your year. Wait for it. Okay, God is there. Whatever you need to succeed, it's already in you. God created all the seed to be trees. All everything comes from that own thing, from its own kind. It's the same thing as human. Guys, when God was created woman, when God was making woman, he went inside men to get that woman out. Therefore, for your success, for your future, it's inside of you. God already put it in you. Whatever you need for it, it's in you. Just accept and believe. To God be the glory.